so many empty seats in the church? I believe it's because people, sometimes people are ashamed. Maybe they did something last night that they're ashamed of and they thought, well, I can't come back to church. Look what I've just done. They don't understand the power of the cross. They don't understand the power of the blood that was shed for them, that washes them clean. I'm talking to those of you that are believers, that have given your whole life over to Jesus Christ, become born again, a born again Christian, meaning you've repented of sin, and there was one day in your life where you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And so something happened that day. We understand 2,000 years ago, He died on the cross, took your sins upon Himself. He took all your sin. Even your future sins were paid for there. Your sin was taken upon that cross so that you could come boldly into His presence. You could come boldly to Him in time of need. It's talking about grace. Grace is what? It's God's favor, but it's also God's help. It's God's empowerment to help you in your time of need. Are you in a time of need right now? Then you can come boldly, boldly, confidently, with assurance that God will hear your prayer. You don't need someone else to pray for you. It's fine if someone else prays for you, someone else prays with you. There's what we call a prayer of agreement. If any two on earth shall agree as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done. So we have confidence that we can pray with other people. That's where a husband and wife become a powerful force for the kingdom of God. And the devil hates the family because that's two coming into agreement. Hallelujah. But we can have confidence that He'll hear our prayers when we pray by ourselves. Some people say, well, pastor, pray for me. And that's fine. As a pastor, I love praying for people, and that's effective and it works. But I want you to know that you can come boldly. You see, Christ's righteousness was granted to you. He gave His righteousness to you. You're as righteous as Christ because that's the power of the cross. That's the power of the blood that was shed. Christ's righteousness is yours. So when you were born again, you were created in righteousness and true holiness, the Bible says in Ephesians. Created that way. Born that way. Just as you were born a male and a female, you're born righteous in the kingdom of God. Your righteousness is a position that God has granted you because of what Christ Jesus did. So, You're as righteous as Christ. That's the way God sees you, as righteous as Christ. And we all know very clearly it isn't because of anything we did. We're not righteous, and not even close. We are sinners, deserving a hell, a lake of fire. We know we deserve nothing. But when God has granted His righteousness to you, do you believe it? Do you have confidence? We're not confident when we approach based on the things we've done. Because if we look at the things we've done, we shouldn't be approaching. But our confidence is in Christ. This is where faith comes in. Do you believe in the blood? Do you believe in the work of the cross? Can you approach God confidently with boldness, assurance that He hears your prayers? So that He hears your prayers just like He hears my prayers. You know? If someone were to, you know, have a heart attack, God forbid, everybody would expect me to go pray for him, but why don't you go pray for him? Oh, God will answer your prayer, Pastor. Well, what about your prayer? Why would you have more confidence in my prayer than your prayer? It's the same righteousness. I'm not more righteous than you. You're not more righteous than me. We have to have confidence in the blood. That's what I'm talking about. We're not having confidence in ourselves. I'm talking about confidence. That's the boldness. This is the weird thing. God expects us to be bold when we enter into His presence, be bold when we ask for things in prayer, and humble at the same time. That's what we call a paradox, where there's two conflicting ideas that seem to contradict. That doesn't make sense. We're to be bold and humble. You know, the kingdom of God is full of those like paradoxes. You know, we're another example, we're to be servants, but we're also to reign with Christ. These concepts don't seem to mesh, but in the kingdom of God, they absolutely do. How are we to have boldness? Well, we're having not boldness in our own good works or abilities. We're having our boldness because our focus is on Christ. We pray in Christ's name, in Jesus' name. We're looking at His righteousness. This is how I approach God, not because of what I've done, because of that work that was completed there on that cross. That's where we get our boldness. But we also have humility because we realize, oh, thank God for the cross. Thank God for what you've done. I am so grateful for your grace and your mercy that I did not deserve. There's the humility. So we can have boldness and humility. That's the way we need to approach our prayers, with both humility, saying, Lord, I am nothing without you, but boldness, but because of you, because you died on the cross for me, because I am in him, you hear my prayers. Glory to God. We have to have boldness and humility. You know, we have to have a balance. Some people overemphasize one side. It's all boldness. And they get kind of cocky, like, I deserve what you're giving me, God. You, and it's like they think they could just, you know, have whatever they want just because of their boldness, but they have no humility. And then there's the other extreme where people are so obsessed with their sins and their guilt and their shame. And that's the people I want to talk to today. They're so obsessed with guilt and shame that they have no confidence, or they have very little confidence. So you have confidence is another word for faith, really. You have to have faith. Without faith, you can't please God. Without faith, you don't get your prayers answered. And that's why a lot of our prayers are not being answered, because of lack of faith, a lack of confidence. Yes, we're not confident in ourselves. We understand that. But when we approach God and we're, you know, feeling guilty and shame, it's like, oh, is God really going to hear me? There's a problem there. The problem is, and we can say it's humility. Oh, I'm being humble. No, the problem is doubt. You're doubting the power of the blood. You're doubting the power of the cross that purchased for you righteousness so that you can approach boldly and confidently. And yes, you won't have your prayers answered if you're trying to pray in doubt, in unbelief. You've got to have faith that the cross did its work. Glory to God. That's also what it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord, verse 12, in whom, here's one of those in whom scriptures, underline that, highlight that, always highlight or underline those in whom scriptures. This is talking about who you are in him. In whom we have boldness, hallelujah, or confidence, boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. We have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. You know, there's two things you really need to succeed. You really need to understand to succeed as a Christian. That's to know God and to know who you are in him. And I'm not going to try to get into all the things about the things we know about God, but I do want you to focus this morning on who are you in him? Do you know who you are in Christ Jesus? Do you really believe if you were to pray for somebody that they would, you know, be healed, or that your prayer would be answered? The Bible was, Jesus himself told us to go into all the world, preach the gospel, and lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Well, that's just for the pastor. No, it didn't say that. There's no qualifications. It says for the believer, if you just believe. Are you a believer? I didn't hear anybody. Are you a believer? All right, just checking. I mean, that was pretty... Y'all still with me? All right, just checking. Glad you're there. Are you a believer? That means yes, you can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You can pray for people and they'll be healed. You can pray for them in their time of need, and whatever the prayer is, you can have confidence as you pray according to the will of God. It'll be done. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are supposed to enter in with boldness, with confidence into the presence of God. You know, in the Old Testament, we have this picture of the like the Day of Atonement. It's one day a year where the high priest, that's the only guy in the entire nation of Israel, only one time of year could enter into the temple, the most holy place, the holiest of holies. And he had to do all this stuff to get ready. He had to clean himself over and over and over and have all these clean clothes and specific clothes. And he had to have blood, and he'd enter in once a year. And they, you know, he had to have, you know, bells on his clothes, and they tie a rope around his leg. So when he entered into the presence of God, if he messed something up, you know, he had to have this incense that would put smoke all over the place. So when he walked in, he couldn't look at the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, or the mercy seat. He couldn't look at it directly, or he'd drop dead. So that's why he had to have all this smoke, and so that represented God, the mercy seat. It's funny that it's called a mercy seat, but it could kill you back then. But it was a picture, it was a type of what was to come of Christ. So he'd have all this stuff to get ready to enter in once a year to pray for the nation of Israel, to atone for the sins. And if he messed up, he dropped dead, and they would stop hearing the bells on his ankles, and they'd listen for a while. They don't hear any more bells. Uh-oh. And they'd wait a while longer. I don't hear any bells going. And they'd have to drag him out of there because he dropped dead. So that's crazy, right? But that's, now think about that. That's the presence of God, the holy presence of God. But now, because of the blood, we can enter in boldly into his presence, into the temple, into the true temple. That was only a kind of a temporary temple. It was only a type of the real true temple, which is in heaven. We can now enter into the real temple, the third heaven, and enter into his presence because of the blood. We have to have confidence in the blood. Even now, Jesus' body was rent, was torn. If you remember, when he died on the cross, the temple, there was this big separation curtain, and it was torn from top to bottom. And that told us, that indicated that now the presence of God is available, because the blood was shed for all of us. So at one time, the very presence of God would kill people. In the Old Testament, they just touched that ark one time to keep it from falling. Guy dropped dead, right? The presence of God would kill people in the Old Testament, but everything changed with Jesus. In the New Testament, now we have the blood that was shed, so we can come and be in the presence of God. It says in Acts chapter 3, that there is now refreshing in the presence of God for his people. We are God's people, and we are not afraid of the presence of God. We can't get enough of the presence of God. How things have changed. That's the covenant we live in. We can now abide in the presence of God. We want the presence of God, where there is life, there is refreshing. There is no more wrath against sin. We know because the blood was shed. Amen. I'm talking about having confidence when you pray. I'm talking about having confidence in entering into his presence. Sometimes we can have more confidence in our sin than in the blood. We got to know that the blood far outweighs all the sin. By far. I mean, we need to take sin very seriously. It's extremely seriously. It cannot be overstated how serious sin is. People die and go to a hell and a lake of fire for eternity for sin. That's serious. But the blood is greater. The grace and the mercy of God is greater than all the sin of all men for all time, because Jesus paid for all. For God so loved the world. He died for the entire world. So the sin, again, we can have an emphasis on the sin, and we need to repent of it. If we know we've sinned, be conscious of it. And what does the Bible say? Be conscious of it and say, I confess. I admit what I did was sin. It was wrong. I acknowledge my wrong. And he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. But understand, even when you sin, you don't, lose your salvation or anything. You're still in Christ. You just need to be cleansed. But you're in Christ. If we walk in, the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in him, who are in the Spirit, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. We should not be living in condemnation. To walk in the Spirit means in a place of continual humility. God, I can't do this without you. I need your grace. Help me, Lord God. And if I mess up, a person that's walking in the Spirit is immediately going to confess and say, I've messed up. They're not going to deny it and say, well, you know what, that wasn't really sin. That's what the world does all day long with all their nonsense. This isn't really a sin. It's okay. God's okay with it. It doesn't really matter. It's not hurting anybody. That's their yardstick. That's how they measure whether what they're doing is okay. Well, it's not hurting anybody. You know, love is love. It doesn't hurt anybody. That's their yardstick. No, our measurement to know whether a thing is right or wrong is the Word of God, the Scriptures. And so if we try to cover it up, you know, we're not being cleansed. We're not agreeing with the truth of Scriptures. But when we agree with the truth, and the nature of a real believer is to agree with Scripture and say, yes, this sin is sin. I admit it, God. Please forgive me. And He will always be faithful and just to cleanse you and forgive you. There's no reason why any of us should fail to enter into the presence of God, to come to church. Don't run from God, run to God if you've messed up. His arms are always open saying, come. He's waiting for you to come. There are those, and I've been there myself, where I've fallen away from God, and I've fallen far away from God and what we call a backslidden condition. I got away from God for at least a year and a half, and got in the world, got in sin, got all messed up. And so, and the good news is when I was ready and I got sick of sin, I was ready to come back, God's arms were open. He was just waiting for me. He's just waiting for us to come back. Always go to God, not away from God. Don't listen to what men say. Don't listen to what the Word says. He loves you. He died for you. He will cleanse you. He paid an awesome price so that you could be with Him. He wants us in His presence. In His presence is where we belong. It's where we are to abide all the time. Are you abiding in the presence of God? You can. God wants you closer. It's a matter of confidence. I believe in many cases we're as close to the Lord as we want to be. And to a large degree, it has to do with our confidence, not in ourselves, but in the cross and the work that was completed. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, well, let me just say this before, as you're turning there. 2 Corinthians 5:21, we know James 5:16 says, the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Do you believe you're righteous? Do you believe you're righteous? Because that's how you're going to get your prayers answered. Well, how do we know we're righteous? It isn't because of what we feel. It isn't because of the things we've done right or wrong. It's because of what Jesus did. 2 Corinthians 5:21 explains it. For He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He was the spotless Lamb. He never sinned, not once. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We're made, underline that, highlight that, we're made the righteousness of God in Him. This word made means to become. It's the way we're born, born again. We've been made the righteousness of God in Him. You know, I've been in church most of my life, almost my entire life. And, you know, I've heard all kinds of scriptures about the power of the cross, the power of the blood, the work of the cross. You know, we've been made the righteousness of God. And, you know, I've heard that all my life. And I said, oh, praise God. Amen. That's great. You know, but I didn't really get it. And so at some point in my life, I said, is that really in Scripture? I got to a place in my life where I stopped believing the stuff the preachers were saying. And I said, give me the Scripture. And I looked it up, and you know, you can look things up now. You can search and search in search engines and things like that for your Bibles, online Bibles anyway. And I looked it up. I said, yeah, that Scripture's really there. That's the one, 2 Corinthians 5:21. We've been made the righteousness of God. Man, I didn't just want a mental agreement. I didn't just want a mental assent that this is true. I needed a revelation from heaven And I prayed and I said, God, open this up to me. What is this saying? What does this mean? And if it took me days or weeks or months or however long. And so I got in the Word of God and started studying this out. I studied all these passages on the righteousness and the work that was done for us, on the power of the blood. And God just gave me this revelation, this reality that this is who we are in Christ. All these in Him, in whom, through Him, through Christ realities are who we are now and forever. Glory to God. We'll never be less righteous than we are right now because it isn't based on anything we do. It isn't based on how we feel. It's based on what He did, and it's complete. It's complete. It's done. He's not going to do more. He doesn't need to. We've been perfected in Him, which means made complete, made whole in Christ Jesus. It's already been done. God gave me this revelation, man. I got so excited, I was jumping all over the place. I mean, if you really get a revelation from heaven, it's not just going to be in your head. It'll get in your heart, and it'll change you forever. I would encourage you, don't listen to me. Go look these scriptures up and find out for yourself what God says about who you are in Him. We need to know God, and we need to know who we are in Christ Jesus. He has made us to be righteous in His sight. Created in righteousness and true holiness. That's Ephesians 4:24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now understand, righteousness is something we also do. Righteousness is something we're to live. We are to be producing fruits of righteousness, the fruit of the Spirit. That's our lifestyle. But none of these things are why God answers my prayer, because I'm living in love and goodness and faithfulness and kindness and all these fruit of the Spirit. That's not why God hears me or answers my prayer. That's not why I can enter into the presence of God. It's only because of the righteousness that was given to me by Christ Jesus. We get things mixed up. We think, well, I've been coming to church and I've been being a good person and doing this and doing that, paying my tithe or whatever you think is good. And we think, you know, I've been good for a while. Maybe God will answer my prayer. Maybe God will help me with this situation. It's not how it works. It has nothing to do with you. It's not based on our works. It's based on His grace and His mercy alone. Alone. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by Him. That doesn't mean Him plus you. It isn't God's cross and the good things you've done. Because by that, you've negated the power of the cross. You're saying, look at these good works I've done. Well, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. But I'm going to add to it and say, look what I've done. And then we can, you know, we think God will pat us on the back. Yeah, look at all these great things you've done. No, we're not having confidence in Him alone, the only way to heaven. We're having confidence in ourselves. And so many people approach God, approach even things like going to church. Well, when I clean up, I'll go to church. Man, you have no idea about the cross when I hear stuff like that. You don't clean the fish before you get them in the boat. First, come by the cross alone, and God does the cleansing, right? He fixes everything, but you have to come by faith. Faith in Him alone. God hears your prayers. God wants you to pray to Him. God wants you to be in His presence. But you can't do it if you're just cowering in shame. You know, you saw some guy with his dog, and this dog was always just shivering in the presence of his master and just cowering. And as soon as the master reaches out his hand, the dog just runs off. You think, well, that dog's been abused. What's wrong with that guy? What's he doing to that dog? That's not the way we're to approach God. We are the sons of God. We are His very children now. We are to not be cowering in shame and guilt and condemnation. The devil would keep you in a place of condemnation so you don't approach God. And I found out by just my own experience, the more I allowed condemnation to build, and it just kind of snowballs in your mind after a while. It just gets bigger and bigger. And I allowed that to happen. It didn't set me free from sin. It made me sin all the more. It didn't help me at all. It made me worse, which is, you know, that vortex where you just go lower and lower and lower if you let that take a place in your heart and in your mind. Condemnation does not help you. Yes, if you've messed up, admit it and confess it and move on. Forgetting the things are behind. Forget the past. The old man is dead. All things have become new. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. If you get this, you're going to pray completely different than you've ever prayed before. And you're going to see more results by far than you've ever seen before. Because you're praying in the confidence of what the work of the cross did. Hallelujah. It changes everything. You become a powerhouse for the kingdom of God. I believe firmly that our prayers are not being answered because of our lack of confidence. But we can have confidence when we put our mind back on Christ. The blood that was shed. We come before Him making petitions, not in our own name. In Thomas's name I pray, amen. No, we don't do that. We say in Jesus' name, and we don't even understand what we're saying there, do we? Sometimes we're just saying it just out of routine. We're saying it because we're praying in the name of Jesus. We're praying in confidence in what He completed. That's how we approach God in prayer. Confidence in that name, by the power of what He did, not in what we did. And we're going to see our prayers answered. Amen? Praise God. Well, I'm going to close with that. I think you guys got it. I was afraid you guys weren't going to get it, but I can see you guys got it. So I don't like to ramble. So let's close in the prayer in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank You that Jesus did die on the cross for us. And those that believed and surrendered our life to Him, making Jesus Lord of our life and Savior of our life, we've been born again, created in righteousness. Our old man is dead. We have become a new creation in Christ Jesus. You said we are the righteousness of God in Him. Lord God, help us to take our place in Him and to walk confidently in what You have done. Perfected. Moving on to righteousness and holiness in a lifestyle. But we're not confident in our works. We're confident in His work on the cross. You hear us because He completed the work. We pray in the name that is above every name. In the name of Jesus. That's why You hear us. Help us to boldly, always boldly come before Your presence because of the blood. Hallelujah, in the work of the cross. His name, amen.
Amen. It's good when we know that we know that we know. We know that God is a good God. He is a faithful God. And as Pastor said there, we don't have to worry about it being in us or through us, but it is in Christ and what He did at the cross. That is our salvation. That is what keeps us. That is what pushes us on. We want to thank you so much for joining us, those in-house and also those who have joined us via the webcast. We want you to know you're welcome. We want to invite you back to our 11 o'clock service. That'll be happening shortly. Before we let you go, just a few announcements. If you haven't given, well, we want to encourage you to do that. There are several ways that you can give. Also online, there's a donate button if you scroll down. Food pantry, we do still need contributions. That we are to be able to help those in need. If you are someone that is in need this holiday season, we would ask you to go to christunveiled.org/benevolence. If you'll click on that link, there's a short form to fill out. That is a private form that is not shared out, and we would like to be a blessing to you this time of year. Also, you received a text if you gave in 2023. It is important to click the link in the text and respond, giving us your proper email so we can send you the end-of-year statement for your taxes so you can use that for a tax write-off. So make sure if you've given and that we have your correct information. If you didn't get that information, let us know and we'll get it to you. Again, thank you so much for joining us. We hope to see you right back here at the 11 o'clock service. You are blessed and dismissed.